I saw somebody in a casket. I was a young kid. I think fifth grade. I was coming home from Sacred Heart Elementary. It was my grandfather, Matthew Griffin from Ireland. Loved my grandfather. It was just cool. It was a fine day, lad. It was just cool, man. And the Pittsburgh police were carrying him out on a chair. Old school. From his house on a chair. He's sitting up. Gave me a little smile. He was very pale. He was dead within a day. Biggest funeral I've ever seen in my life. And then Delia, his wife, passed. And I remember that. And my other grandparents. But I was too young to comprehend mortality. If you know what I mean. They were, quote, old people, end quote. I think Mia can probably relate. I mean, she's still in her 20s. You don't think in these terms. But when you turn 60 and people are dying. My cousin Mickey died yesterday. All these things cross your mind. A lot of folks say they rely on faith. Fascinating what the young man said who just called, that a lot of folks say to themselves, well, I've got a better life coming up. I don't think that way, man. I think I got my best shot at the title right here. I got a son who looks up to me like I'm the legend himself. I mean, I've got two daughters. I've got a wife. I'm living the dream, man. But when one of your best friends growing up dies, when five guys I was an altar boy with are dead. When my cousin Mickey dies, you start thinking, man, what the hell? When your wife is younger and you're older and your kids are younger, I'm thinking, you start to do the math. Seriously, let me think. If I make it to 80, Vince will be 30. Will he be okay? Sure, he'll be fine. Seriously. I'm not a morbid guy. And I don't think and pray that I die because things are going to be so slamming in heaven. I just don't think that way. I kind of like the gig I have here. Victoria, thanks for your patience. Good morning.
Hello, thank you for taking my call, Marty. I would like to relay my story, and then I would like to say something that might help you in the way you're thinking. When my sister was 29, she was killed by a drunk driver, leaving a 4- and a 6-year-old. It happened to be the year that I got married. She was killed in March. My wedding was in August, which, of course, it affected the whole family. I was very close with her. Wanted to cancel the wedding. My father said, no way she would want you to get married. Worst wedding I had ever been to. She was buried in the dress she was going to wear in my wedding.
Wow.
So our family was never the same. And I was very angry. And I'm a person of faith.
Sure.
Very angry at God.
Sure.
Went through a very dark period, as we all did.
Sure.
Now, Zoom 40 years later.
Wow.
And I have chosen, now at that time, they did not have trauma units. So she was, it was Northwest President, and we were all around her, and the nurses said when we would speak to her, she would begin to melt. And the nurses said, because her brain had swollen, and like I said, no trauma units. It was horrifying. So no one uses that word lightly. So, as I said, Zoom 40 years later, I could focus on her death day, or I could remember all the wonderful times we had together. Your death day is one day. Your life and everything you did and all the people you have helped, that's your whole life. That's what we need to focus on.
How long?
When some.
I think you're strong. This is wonderful. How long did it take you to get to that point?
Oh, I'm going to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Oh, a good 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, because I loved her. And when someone that we love.
Wow.
Passes. There's always going to be for the rest of your life.
So hold on. So you had 30 years. I don't want to speak for you, but this is amazing. So you had 30 years of torture.
No, I had 30 years of
regret.
At times, not every moment of every day.
Yeah, yeah.
there were times when I would still go into periods of mourning her, periods of loss.
Depression?
Go ahead.
Did you have depression?
I wouldn't call it a full-blown depression.
Yeah.
No, there would be periods in a day where I would be, I'm not saying 30 years of this, but I'm saying, and I'm still not over it. I miss her every day, love her voice. I made sure that they knew about her mother. I mean, their mother, forgive me. And, but I have chosen now, as I say to myself, that was one day in a life of 29 years. So am I just going to forget the wonderful times and focus on that horrific day?
Right.
Or I had to decide the life. Now, for myself,
yeah.
Here's how I feel.
Yeah.
When I go, I want to be remembered that I made a difference
sure.
somehow sure. in this life.
Sure.
And Marty, you have. You are wonderful. I admire you. I don't always agree with
sure,
you.
Sure, yeah.
But, so to feel something that's inevitable, and like I always have the opinion, well, when people say, why me? Why me? I look at them and say, why not you? None of us are getting out of here alive, right?
It's adorable.
Right, my
yeah,
friend?
No, I get it. Yeah, you're cool.
Yeah.
You're the best.
Oh, thank you. I think I'm pretty cool, too. I'm 64 years old.
You're fantastic.
But I hang with young people to keep cool.
I know. I do the same. I have a 9-year-old son. Fascinating dialogue, actually, why I carried it over. I'm just intrigued by this. It got real personal for me when first my parents died back to back, and so that was mind-numbing pain. And then I got cancer, and I went from 215 pounds to 157 pounds, and I blacked out and was in intensive care. And at the time, Vincent was 8. Chloe was 10. Sophia was 14. And your mind races. Would Vincent know me if Daddy died? And blah, blah, blah. I'm not a morbid guy, man. If you listen, I chase the rabbit hard every day and obsess, quite frankly, on helping folks, whether it's with a furnace or furniture or doctor or lawyer. You name it. It's my thing. I have an entire company set up around it called Sparked. Check it out. S-P-A-R-K-T. We're doing stuff together here and there. Love it. And then you get real sick and you think, legit, I could die. What the hell's that about? All the things that I thought only happened to old guys, and then you become that old guy. Seriously. For real, as the kids say, for real. Like, you know, man, like you're old. Here we are, talking it out. I appreciate all of you. I love the stories. Jeanette Penn Hills, thank you for your patience.
Oh, thank you, Marty. Yeah, I do have patience, but I'm just calling to see if I can help you out.
Yeah.
I'm 80 years old and have been a nurse and have seen an awful lot of life and death.
Oh, gosh, yes.
All I can tell you to reach this age, and I've been given the sacraments of extreme unction had them when I was 30.
Oh.
I'm 80 now, so they must have worked. anyway, I'm just calling to let you know the way I have gotten through all of my people dying, and the older you get, the more lonely it becomes.
Yeah.
It is through prayer.
Huh.
Okay, I love the rosary. I say 3-4 rosaries a day to chase away the blues sometimes.
Nice.
And to pray for everybody that I love and have loved. And, you know, that's it. Prayer and faith that God gave me a plan, and hopefully I'm living it.
Okay. And you're spot on, and it's magnificent, and I love your plan. However, you know, 50% of Americans don't do that. They have no faith. What do they do?
All I can tell you is I don't know how they handle it.
Yeah.
Because then they would turn to the things in the world that you don't want to turn to for comfort, alcohol, drugs, etc. People like me are people that believe in God's plan, and we just live it. We don't worry about all this craziness that goes on in the world, because we know that we're not just physical beings, but we're spiritual beings, and we work our problems out through prayer, through asking God, through talking to God and telling him our problems.
No, that's very, 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 very cool. Faith-based. But my concern for the folks that don't have that. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, done. I don't know what you do. Elaine, go ahead.
Yeah, since she was talking about that, there's a thing people say a lot of times, God doesn't have any grandchildren. So anybody who comes to the Lord has to come on their own. I lost a daughter a week after she was born, lost my first husband when he was 31. The first time I experienced death was a month before we graduated from school, and five kids were killed in a car accident up near Aetna. Four of them. And then afterwards, the first year, we lost 15 out of our class from leukemia, hit and run, stuff like that.
What?
Yeah, that was back in 73. Two guys were on the track team, got hit on the side of the road by a driver. So anyhow, and I've seen a lot. And you know what, for me, even though I've lost my daughter, my first husband, I wondered, being a diabetic all my life and told I'd be dead by 30, that why am I still here? And that's what drew me to the Lord and made me understand that God had a plan for each of us. And it's not an easy life, as you and I have previously discussed. You've had your own trials.
Yeah.
But it says our suffering helps other people with suffering. For those who don't have a relationship with the Lord, they have to, someday they will get to a place of either sheer bitterness or they're going to give it up and give God a chance.
As a crutch, though, if you're doing it then, you're just rushing to it because you're afraid now. Last minute kind of stuff.
Well, I think many people do it because they're afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't know the beginning from the end, and you ponder what's on the other side.
No, you're right.
If there is another side.
No, you're wonderful. So, you're right.
Yeah. Okay, talk to you later.
No, you're fantastic. Hey, man, none of it's easy. None of it. I mean, we're flawed individuals, and you ponder these things when everyone you love starts to die. Well, then you have to find the folks that are here, my children. And understand that they need daddy big time. And every day I'm here, I'm going to bring joy into their lives and my wife's. That's all there is. Look, I'm not trying to be morbid here, but these are the things that happen when tragedies happen around you and people you love die. And when I got this call yesterday, my cousin Mickey, that we were boys, man, growing up, just tight. Mickey's dead. And you start thinking, what do I do with the rest of my life? How do I manage life and death? How do I do it to make a difference and not ponder this 8 days a week? I love and admire and respect all of your stories today. It's helped a great deal. Right back. I had a bunch of stuff to get to, but I don't know that there are many more topics that are more significant. Life and death and faith and the end and the beginning and the afterlife and all of it. My favorite spiritual person in America today. I'm serious. Pastor James Hogan. I'm trying to get him to call him, but he usually works. So, small church in the Rocks. He's a young guy. He heard me talking about my cousin Mickey dying. Sorry about your cousin. It's tough to lose folks. A guy I've known my whole life died last week. Man. And I'm doing a funeral for another lifelong friend on Saturday. It hurts. But I wonder how much I've calloused over the years being at deathbeds and doing funerals. It's a fascinating, honest assessment. It doesn't crush me like it once did. I grieve and move forward better now, but I worry that I don't feel as much as I should anymore. That's a beautiful thing. That's why I love him. Guy's deep. He gets it. Well, he's a pastor, so someone dies, he's there. He's supposed to provide comfort. My sister, Sandy, maybe the greatest nurse I've ever known, but I'm biased, has been saving lives in the nursing care business, intensive care units, transplant units, you name it, her whole life. I mean, more than 30 years. Conversely, she's seen hundreds of folks die. She certainly isn't callous. They jack her up, messes with her. I don't know what you do, man, but you got to figure it out. She's an amazing mother, and she's made such an influence that both of her daughters, Anna and Sarah, Sarah's a nurse already seeing this, saving lives, and Anna's right behind her. My man, Brad, good morning.
Good morning. Marty, you come through your crisis, and I think, in my mind, the longer you live after this, you've changed a lot. You're more tender-hearted and all that kind of thing. In
you
my
think,
mind,
you think I'm a nicer guy now?
Thinking. And, yeah, and change. But I wanted to tell you about my great-grandmother. She lived 105 years old.
Whoa.
And my parents used to take us over there to visit. We'd go over there, and they'd be sitting out in the back porch. They had this, I can remember this, huge coffee pot, white porcelain, sitting on the stove. They had a gas burner under it. And they would sit there on the back porch with a cup of coffee in their hand and a corn cob pipe, smoking them pipes.
Nice, man.
To be 105 years old.
Brad.
That's amazing.
Brad.
Yes.
How old are you, brother?
Hey, I'm 81.
You're 81.
I got a pretty good start.
Do you think about death?
Oh, yeah.
Are you okay with it?
I could go anytime.
Are you okay with it?
I've lived a good life. I never drank alcohol. I never smoked cigarettes, and I'm healthy. But when my time comes to go, I'm ready.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Why do you say that? Why aren't you afraid? Why aren't you a little bit scared?
Because I'm ready to go to heaven.
Wow. And so you have that strong faith that that's the next step.
Right.
Interesting. So what do you tell folks out there? Because half of Americans don't have that faith. They got nothing right now.
Well, the reason is they don't have the Lord.
Well, I'm saying they don't. But what do you tell them if they have no faith?
Well, you just tell them they better be ready. You know, get ready.
Yeah.
There's time to do that while they're here. But after they're gone, it's too late.
What do you mean? What happens to them if they have no faith?
They don't go to heaven.
Why?
Because they're not ready.
So you know? Think, and I love this commentary because I hear this, so you think if someone, and this is a Christian belief,
yes.
You think if someone lives a wonderful life and they don't have the faith that you have, that it doesn't matter. They're not going to get to that other place because they didn't have that faith.
They haven't repented now.
Even though they lived a wonderful life.
Yes.
I can't buy that.
But,
you understand I don't believe that, right?
Well, listen, good works isn't going to take anybody to heaven.
You're kidding.
Yeah, right.
So if you're an amazing person, and by the way, Brad speaks for millions and millions and millions of Christians. So if you're an amazing person and you do amazing things your whole life, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're done.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're Jewish, you're done, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Anybody's ready, they're
hold on. Up. If you're Muslim, you're done, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're gay, you're done, right?
In my mind.
No. This is fascinating.
It all goes against the Word of God.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love you, man. I love your input. I love hearing from you.
Well, thank you, Matt.
Thanks,
Marty, and I'm glad you're still with us.
Yeah, man. I am not picking on him, but that's right from the Bible. That's just... See, I can't do that. I can't go there. With all due respect to Brad and hundreds of millions, and I can't buy into the notion that if I live a woman sent me a note and said, "Look, you're in the heaven, man, just based on your good deeds, but you ain't getting in until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Marty. And if you don't, you're out." I don't believe that. I just don't. Love you, Brad. Margie, go ahead.
Hey, I missed your last caller because I was calling in, but I think he hit the nail on the head. I'm going to give you a quick little sermon this morning since you can't get your pastor, James Hogan, which happened to be my dentist's name. Anyway,
oh, wow.
You need to read your Bible a little bit more, Marty, and I only say that because that's a good thing, and yeah, it'll lift your spirits, but read John 3:3.
Yeah.
It says, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And I want to challenge listeners about eternity. Now, think about this, Marty. What does eternity mean? Forever, right?
Yeah.
Forever. Do you want to forever be separated from God or forever with God?
So Margie,
I mean,
I love you, Margie, but you're agreeing with Brad. In other words, you do amazing things your whole life. All you do is
help. Doesn't matter, Marty. Doesn't matter.
Sure it does.
You got to read your Bible.
I don't buy that.
You got to read your Bible.
Who wrote that?
Well, you have to read. When you have a personal relationship, it's not about a religion.
It's about a
book. It's not about being a good person.
I have a relationship.
It's not about, it's what,
I don't believe
well,
that an all-knowing, all-loving God says, hey, man, you're out. I just don't believe it.
Well, then you just need to study the Word of God a little bit more. And I say that in love.
No, no.
When you get deeper with it, you'll understand it better. It doesn't seem fair. No, it doesn't.
Hmm.
But it's the Word of God, which is God-breathed. So you have to trust what it teaches.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Love you. It's fascinating. It's a conundrum.